This week one recap and Monday night prop bets edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by mybookie.ag. The NFL is back and mybookie is now offering a 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. That's mybookie.ag, promo code SGP to play, win and get paid. We're also brought to you by the leaders in daily fantasy, DraftKings. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week two action. Enter code SGP to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code SGP only at DraftKings. We're also brought to you by BetQL. Want to get an advantage over the sportsbook with NBA, NHL, college football, MLB, and NFL back in action? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets this season. Head to betql.co and enter code SGP20 for 20% off your first subscription. That's betql.co, promo code SGP20. Finally, we're brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP.
Hi, this is Merrill Hodge, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, baby.
Fucking shine box.
Ooh, welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kram Dog?
Well, Sean, we made it. We're here. We survived this. Well, I haven't had to do any battle yet, Sean. You survived a Sunday. I'm impressed to see you here. I'm impressed to see you showing up to work to do your job. Not something a millennial will do, but would do. But man, tough day when you become the first loss in the history of the Eagles football team rivalry.
Eagles, they lost, but I've already processed that. Because I was down, I was out, but then I remembered, oh yeah, winning money on my NFL picks. That was sweet. Had a very profitable day. Of course, had the Bills, my lock that came in.
Congrats.
I had our
survivor pool.
Sean. Survivor pool. The Bills went on and beat the Jets. And it was a very good day. And I was a little down and I said, you know what? Go big or go home. Even though I was at my home at the time, loaded up all my money over at mybookie.ag, promo code SGP on the Los Angeles Rams. And that was a glorious way, not only for me to win money, but to watch the Cowboys lose. So that was awesome. And just a reminder, we're streaming this live over at youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. So if you're listening to the podcast, just know Sunday nights after the Sunday night game, we'll be doing this live. You guys can come in, talk some shit. I got plenty of shit talked to me by Cowboys fans, and don't worry, they didn't even wait until they beat the Rams. That's how confident these Cowboys fans were.
Silly.
It was pretty great.
For the record, I haven't said anything yet. Well, I did console your wife. I said, I'm sorry. Might be a long season. Carson not looking like a franchise quarterback.
Well, we'll get to that, Ryan.
I'm sorry.
I mean, and also your team fucking sucks. So don't, I mean,
we'll get to that later. Sean.
We will.
We are going to be giving out some props.
Yes. We're going to be giving out some prop bets. We're going to recap week one and then even do a little DFS lineup to close things out. All right, let's get it going. First up, the Thursday night game. Get that out of the way. Chiefs 34, Texans 20. We both had the Texans. Maybe got a little cute there. The Chiefs just came out and just destroyed them. Although the Texans were up 7-0, and when I had the Texans plus 10, I'm like, wow, this is great. It was a smart side. Maybe got a little too cute. This Kansas City team came in and they just destroyed things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's one of those areas where you want to say it's got to be a continuity thing. I don't know. A lot of continuity on the Bill O'Brien, the Houston Texans side of the ball as well.
And just like not going for it on fourth and four midfield. And they just, I mean, when they, that playoff game, they went on a 31-0 run, and then they got one touchdown to start off this game. And then the Chiefs went on another basically 31-point run. So it's been bad for the Texans. We'll see. Maybe they could figure it out, but certainly missing DeAndre Hopkins.
Stock is low, although they still only lost by 14.
Yeah, there was. It felt like there should have been a backdoor cover there somewhere. It didn't happen.
But man, when the air gets let out of that team, it gets let out, and it just, Watson just didn't seem like he had enough around him.
Yep. Dolphins 11, Patriots 21. Again, I really like this Dolphins team. Had some Ryan Fitzpatrick lineups there. It just, they couldn't get anything going. And granted, it was kind of an ugly game, but Cam Newton, couple Uh-oh. Rushing touchdowns. He was already getting a little chippy after the game. And you know, I guess we're just counting down the days until Bill Belichick starts wearing one of those Mam Newton scarfs.
Well, and this is all we needed, right?
Week yes.
one, Tom Brady looks a lot like Jameis Winston. Meanwhile, Cam Newton comes out, does exactly what we kind of thought he might, which is run the rock a little bit. And if they just lean into that angle, this is going to be a tough team to stop. So sure, the Dolphins aren't a great team, but what's the takeaway here is, okay, Belichick's ready. He's not punting on this season. And Cam Newton might just be a tough out for some people. And with a seventh playoff team, Sean, I think this is going to be a team that hard to see them not making the playoffs based on 1 week.
Yeah.
Don't want to overreact.
Still early, and it was the Miami offense, so we'll see.
What will happen first? Boston fans getting into the hat culture or scarf culture, or Tom Brady no longer the starting quarterback of the Bucks.
Wow, Ryan. I think
this is a tough one.
I think I think neither are going to happen. Ravens 38, Browns 6. Again, the Browns, you know, everyone, they were the post hype sleeper team. This is the year they're going to get it all figured out. Of course, I noted that Odell Beckham had 2.2 fantasy points. I mean,
double deuce,
you know, they just call that man the Cleveland deuce. And the Ravens, who I thought Mark Andrews wouldn't have a huge year touchdown wise. He had two. So congrats to him. But we were both on the Ravens. They smashed. It was easy money. I got down on this game and I don't even think we saw much of this game because
we really didn't.
It wasn't one of the main screens. And like, I feel like Red Zone was even like, do you really want to see this?
They were kind. They didn't have to show us much. Cleveland would qualify to be a close your eyes special, Sean. Of course, those new to the show underperform the spread by 21 and you're catching points the next week. You are a close your eyes special. Unfortunately for us, Cleveland will be at home this Thursday against the Bengals. The look ahead was 7.5. So they are not going to be a close your eyes special, well, but stock is low.
Yes. And with Baker, I thought Baker learned. He said, I'm not going to do all those commercials. You know, that was like too much. He's still in a bunch of commercials. He's still living at his house, running that sketch, and he's involved in Hulu commercials. I mean, Cleveland is still Cleveland. That's what we learned. The Bills 27, Jets 17, of course, the lock for me, my lock. And this 27-17, it shouldn't have been this close. Buffalo blew a couple opportunities. Josh Allen looking like the number one fantasy football quarterback that I crowned him. And the Jets, they got some garbage there late, but they were never in this game. And this Jets team is just really, really bad.
I mean, from a fantasy perspective, even Crowder, like he had that one, he kind of busted that one play open. Herndon, a lot of garbage at the end. This game was not a 10-point game, which is the scary part about betting on Josh Allen. We were discussing this as we were watching the game. The dude's highs are like Patrick Mahomes,
yeah,
and his lows are like Mitch Trubisky. So you got to roll with it. I think this is going to be a team that loses some games they shouldn't, but they're also, you know, maybe I was a bit lower on them than I should have been.
The Bills. Yeah. And everyone's giving me shit for the Bills. I mean, we'll see. Again, this is only 1 week.
It's early.
Week one. It's
nope.
Early.
No preseason. Divisional games.
The Panthers were at home, 3-point home dog. We both liked that number, thought it would be a tough spot for the Raiders. And this was actually a pretty exciting back and forth game. Robbie Anderson got involved in the fantasy game. I have a couple shares of him in best ball. That was nice. And the Panthers, I think we kind of nailed it with the Panthers in that they have some skill guys. They have Christian McCaffrey, obviously. Teddy Bridgewater, a huge step up from what they've had previously with other quarterbacks. So they can put up some points, which they did. But then it was kind of the question of, all right, they're starting three rookies on defense. Yeah. What can they do defensively? And they kind of just proved to be a sieve. So
I think the takeaways for me are, okay, both of these teams have the ability to be fantasy relevant because their defenses suck. And I think we're going to look back on this game and be like, wow, both these teams, not very good, huh?
Yeah. And Josh Jacobs had a, you know, he had a huge game. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how much he's involved fantasy wise moving forward, or if this was just kind of a Carolina Panthers thing. Kramer, Seahawks 38, yes. Atlanta Falcons 25.
Unlimited.
Dangerous, certainly unlimited. I mean, you look at the box score and you're like, how did Atlanta only have 25 points? Julio went off. Ridley went off. Gage even went off.
But Ryan had 450 yards.
I know it was.
That's what this team is going to be this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. Atlanta is, again, the defense, it was troubling. And that's why I couldn't talk myself into the Falcons. I think their coach is going to be fired.
There were even times in this game where you're like, oh, look at Seattle doing Seattle things, letting them stick around in the first half, only a 2-point game. And then Russ went full cook mode. We needed like a frying pan sizzle sound drop.
Oh, hot.
Because again, this is a second half team. This is a team I think we're going to want to bet on in the second half of games. They let Russ cook. Sean, and that's all that Mr. Unlimited. It was unlimited. I have tickets for them to win the Super Bowl. I have a ticket for them to have the most regular season wins after that first game. I'm feeling great about it, Sean. What week does he get fired? What week?
Yeah,
he's Quinn, rest in peace, get fired.
Well, but I mean, after this week one, I think a lot of coaches are on this hot seat. We'll see how things shake out. Of course, we're presented by mybookie.ag. Use a promo code SGP. For a 100% deposit bonus, play, win, and get paid. I know I got a nice little bankroll sitting in my bookie. And oh, yeah. After we're done recapping the games, we're going to get into some props that they have over at my bookie. Looking forward to all of that.
Stacks on stacks.
So I'm sure all the Cowboys fans listening, or Giants fans, or football team fans, you'll want to hear my take on the Eagles losing 27-17 to the football team. It was a goddamn fucking embarrassment.
Yes.
There's nothing else to say. It was, they looked so good up until the point where they were 17-0. Then Wentz throws an interception and it just unravels from there. Carson Wentz, he just needs to play better. There's not really much else to say. The huge issue is the offensive line. When Miles Sanders was out, I wasn't that worried. But then when Lane Johnson went out, I mentioned it on the pregame show, that to me is a difference maker. He is really the anchor to that line. And if he's going to be out for an extended period of time, they're going to be in trouble. And well, but also like Washington does have a really good defensive line. And I mean, good. Dwayne Haskins still looks like dog shit to me. And I know you're, you lost by 10 points, but he just doesn't look that good. Just the Eagles offense couldn't do anything. Doug Peterson really needs to be more reinventive with his play calling. And also like, yeah, you have all these injuries on offensive line, bring the tight ends in, help them chip. It's frustrating because there were a lot of things I liked in the first half, that getting the deep ball involved, that 55 yard bomb to Jalen Reagor, just them taking deep shots and using their speed. I love that, but they really got to figure out the offensive line. Thank God the Cowboys lost, because I think that it's going to be them and the Eagles battling out for the division. So yes, it was a horrible loss, but again, they've beaten the football team 6 times in a row previously. Yep. This shit happens in the NFC East, and it feels like a repeat of 2019 and that the NFC East is going to struggle, but eventually the Eagles pull it up.
The Giants have not played yet. So to see the cream.
But right now the football team is in solo first place,
sole position of first place. Sean, I heard you blame a lot of people just now. Mm-hmm. I heard you call out a lot of reasons why the Eagles didn't get across the finish line. I didn't hear Carson Wentz listed.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I didn't hear Carson Wentz.
How high are you? I started up and said Carson Wentz needs to play better. Carson Wentz threw the interceptions. I'm blaming Carson Wentz for having a bad game. Like, you're not listening to the show at all. I mean, I said Carson Wentz played like shit. What do you want me to say?
it was beyond that. He lost the game. There was no business. They had no business losing this game.
Agreed.
They had no business losing this game. It was fabulous. And here's my takeaway. The football team's offense is dog shit. So serious questions about that secondary for the Eagles. I mean, you nailed it. Haskins didn't really have a good game, but he had two good drives, and that was all it took, really. When you have the field position problem with those turnovers, I got to be honest, Sean. I'm dropping Carson Wentz to the bottom, number four, in the divisional quarterback rankings. So he's gonna have to claw his way out of the basement.
Okay, he'll work on that for you, Ryan.
I mean, what do you want to do, Sean? It's tough. You're down a game. You're already down on the tiebreaker. What do you? It's an upward climb, and the offensive line's not getting healthy overnight. Rams are coming into town next week, looking good, coming off that win.
Okay,
all right, we can move on. You don't want to talk about it anymore.
No, I started off by saying Carson Wentz played like shit, and you're like, you didn't mention Carson Wentz.
I don't feel like you gave Carson the appropriate amount of blame.
I said he started.
The only reason they lost.
He started the downhill slide. Yeah, he threw the interceptions that gave them the points. But what else do you want me to say?
But he was the reason they lost. Like a Mitchell Trubisky level.
He played like shit. I said that.
That's all.
He needs to play better.
All right, we're good. We're good.
God.
Wentz and Trubisky.
You're worse than my wife. Bears 27, Lions 23. Ryan, are you going to come off your prediction that the Lions are going to make it to the NFC Championship? You're saying Mitch Trubisky tore your Lions apart.
That was weird. That was a weird game.
I thought I was getting cute by taking the Bears catching the points, but no, I was correct.
We didn't really check a change. We didn't really see the comeback other than the spots we did see. It was like, oh, this is setting up nicely for the backdoor, go to overtime, might even be a tie. And then Mitch went off script and decided to throw a touchdown to Anthony Miller. So yeah, I don't know what that was about. Impressive performance, I guess, by the Lions, considering all the people they are missing. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Week one, Sean. Week one. It's no preseason. We'll see. Stafford looked good on offense. Trubisky, nice comeback. Saved the job. At least the Giants don't have to go up against Nick Foles now.
Colts 20, Jaguars 27. Jags getting 8 points at home, one outright. I had some Jags money line. We kept hyping up this Jags team. I'm pissed that I went with the Dolphins as my sneaky upset play instead of the Jags. I doubted Minshew mania, but I mean, how many times do we have to say it? The heat index going down there. This Colts team, this older Colts team, is going to start dying in the second half, and they did. And Minshew made some throws. I know I was all over Chris Thompson in fantasy. That was a bit of a dud, but Minshew, three touchdowns, looked great.
The Jacksonville experience is going to be fun this year because that team doesn't think they're supposed to lose. That defense was getting fourth down stops
again. They didn't get the memo about tanking at all.
I mean, this is a defense that people are openly like, yeah, whatever. You guys are a complete shit. And they're going up against one of the best offensive lines in football, and they're getting fourth and short stops. They played hard.
Yeah.
The bullshit about Minshew being the captain and them wanting him to be the captain. There's clearly
quote from Chark saying when he drops back, we want him to know that the entire team is behind him. That's a team
we all stand with Minshew.
Yeah, and we'll see if they get some respect in the number. It's interesting.
Maybe time to sell to Jacksonville stock right now, but I feel you. It's a fun team to root for. They're going to be on a TV every week.
Vikings 34, Packers 43. Shootout here in Minnesota. We both had the Vikings. My logic was I didn't really have a great feel on either of these teams coming into it, but Green Bay, maybe everyone kind of overlooked the regression angle, and Davante Adams just had a monster game, much like in Madden Mayhem. He was just getting fed over and over and over. And this Vikings defense, I mean, we talked about in the NFC North preview that they had a lot of young defensive backs. That could have been the problem. And that certainly was the issue.
I mean, I think we've been advertising the idea of Aaron Rodgers going into FU mode for a while now.
Yes.
First game, but it appeared like he was going to do that. Now, I got to imagine teams are going to adjust, and we're going to be like, well, wait a second. We need to take away Davante Adams, young secondary in Minnesota. Probably the cause. They're going to get better, but great start for Packer fans.
San Diego. Superchargers, charge.
Chargers 16, Bengals 13. Kramer, we watched this. We watched joy come over a young Justin Decker's face. Although I don't know if we could really see his face, he was wearing his mask. It was a completely horrifically ugly game. Like in the third quarter, I said this game has tie written all over it. And then the Bengals kicker comes out to tie it. It was like a 30-yard field goal, something, just a chip shot, and is hammy just out of nowhere.
It was the calf. I think it was the calf.
But was it the calf? Okay.
I mean, he missed so far wide. It was hilarious.
Cal Harris in the YouTube chat pointing out, thank Randy Bullock's calf for that push on your lock today, Crane. Well,
I mean, I would have preferred it was going to go to overtime. Tyrod was going to get it done. But if you must come at it with that angle, yeah, I mean, what a fucking game. And to watch, as you were getting to, what to watch the young Justin Decker get excited about getting something lucky happening for his team. He wasn't happy about the win. He was happy that they got luck.
Well, and Phillip brought his curse down to Jacksonville with the Colts. This Chargers offense, it's going to be a long year of just handoffs and dinks and dunks, and Tyrod still, I didn't remember him being that conservative. Like I knew he was conservative, but geez, it was kind of a tough watch. But thankfully I missed the game starting, and I bet this game live, so I got it at 2.5. So that worked out pretty sweet. But we picked it at 3, so that's a push.
And I don't want to, like, it's not like a complete uniform thing, but it does seem like teams with new quarterbacks, or teams with drastically different offensive situations are definitely struggling more than others. So
yeah,
what a bullshit way to push my line.
And people in the chat are talking about that AJ Green push off call, the offensive pass interference.
I mean, look, they call that now.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was a controversial call based on what they call.
Yeah. Now, I'm always a fan of letting them play,
but call that.
I'm also a fan of making money, and that call and the Cowboys call definitely help me out. Cardinals 24, 49ers 20. Arizona was getting 7. They won outright. And man, this was a huge win for Kyler. DeAndre Hopkins went off. I thought it would take them a little while for them to really unleash Hopkins, but they took care of business. And this 49ers team certainly has some questions on defense, and that offense, man, I don't know. Like, they had that Mostert slant across the middle, he took to the house, but other than that, and Kittle's a little banged up. He says he's okay. We'll see. But
I mean, it was just, Kyler has played now three really good games against the 49ers. I think that's all this is.
Yeah.
We highlighted it. The one team that the 49ers defense struggled to contain last year was Kyler. And you saw it again, no matter what they did, he was able to kind of navigate. He's got the patience of Russell Wilson, kind of with the speed and agility of like Lamar or someone like that. And he's really good at sliding. So he took advantage of what they gave them. But to your point, if I'm a Niners fan, I have questions now, because the defense did fine. They did a pretty good job, and the offense couldn't do anything against that defense, because that defense is not going to be, I don't think they're going to be a good defense at the end of the year.
And, you know, we hit Arizona plus 7, and if he keeps winning some bets, maybe, Ryan, I have to do the noble thing and admit, recognize Kyler as a name. But for now, I'm still holding off that it's not a name.
It's barely a name.
And the Cards defense showed up more than I thought. Bucks 23, New Orleans 34. Wow. Kramer, you were on the Saints. I was on the Bucks. A little difference of opinion here. You ended up being right. The Saints at home laying the 3.5. The Bucks, it could have gone both ways. Brady comes out, he's dealing, checking down, hitting everything. Or what we saw, out of sorts. He threw two interceptions. One was a pick six.
I mean, there was a tear brought to my eye with Jameis Winston in the building. Brady said, "Hold my beer," and threw a pick six. Makes you wonder, is it a system thing with Tom? Is Tom a chameleon when it comes to quarterbacking? I think Drew Brees didn't look great.
No, Drew Brees, the arm strength was just clearly not there. You watch the out routes,
doesn't
whatever
matter, though.
And then they keep on bringing Taysom Hill in randomly, but they put up 34 points. So I don't know. I'm mad at myself, because I was always kind of like suspect of this Bucks defense, and everyone's like, "Oh no, they got Lavonte David. They're good. It was just Jameis and the turnovers. Yeah, don't worry, they're going to be good." And I kind of believed it. But yeah, I was on the Bucks 3.5 there. I don't know what to make of this Bucks team. I think they're going to get better. I think the offense will get in sync a little bit more, and they do have some playmakers on defense. So this could just be the Saints at home cooking early. But normally they're kind of off to a slow start.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Sunday night game. We just watched it, Kramer. Rams 20, Cowboys 17. What a beautiful loss for the Dallas Cowboys. Every Cowboys fan, they're thinking, "Oh, we have a great team. Great, but all we got to do is get rid of Jason Garrett. He's too conservative. He never goes for it on fourth down." And then Mike McCarthy on 4th and 5, chip shot field goal ties it up. Instead, he goes for it there. CeeDee Lamb doesn't know to run past the sticks. Madden.
And he's one of those guys who will get penetration.
He did not get penetration past the sticks, caught it, and they didn't get the fourth down. And that was kind of the end of the game. The Rams were interesting team. I mean, it really shouldn't have been this close for the Rams. Like, they were going up and down the field. They had that one kick that doinked out, but really, I mean, their offense looked pretty smooth, pretty scripted, and their defensive line played pretty well. Everyone is all fired up. Was it offensive pass interference? Was it not? I'll say this. I mean, I think it was because it was against the Cowboys. But again, I'm normally a guy, let them play. But they've called, like earlier in the day, they called that AJ Green thing. The AJ Green offensive pass interference was worse than this one. But
yeah,
what I will say is, and Collinsworth pointed it out, was that when he got pushed, Jalen Ramsey like popped his shoulder back and, you know, kind of made it a little bigger than it was. So I think that was this. That's how you get calls. Mm-hmm. Yourself.
He wanted to come to Los Angeles to be an actor, Sean. So
yes,
he's doing work. I mean, look, we love this result, right? This was always going to be the result. We told you this was a nice, but we probably should have played it as our dog. We were,
yes, stupid.
We were overthinking it. I mean, the takeaway here is that McVay was ready. They were ready to play fast. They were ready to be ahead of that Cowboy defense. And as a member of the NFC East, I've not, the football team is clearly the best defense in the division, clearly, because these other there wasn't much else I was seeing.
Well, small sample size,
very small sample size, but it's not even
close. I mean, the Cowboys defense again, like that to me was their big issue coming into the season. Was that they have a horrible defense. It's very porous, and that, you know, people are going to be able to run all over them, and certainly we saw that here. All right, Kramer, before we start doing some prop bets, get to that, I thought it'd be fun to give out a gambling game ball. Basically, one person, one team, whatever it is that really helped contribute to you cashing some tickets.
I mean, geez, trying to not have this there. All right. For me, I was in on this team. And I have two game balls. One of them did not help me win a goddamn bet, and that's Cam Newton, Bill Belichick, because fuck Tom Brady, and
it's a baby fucking wheel, man.
It's almost annoying to me that it's come to this, but I'm actually happy that Bill Belichick is winning without Tom Brady.
Wow,
because I've gone full bore into the camp of, well, I don't really give a shit. I'm 100%. I'm going all in. Fuck Tom Brady. It was all Bill Belichick. Cam Newton's going to do work this year. So we're going to fix this image, and I'm going to give my first game ball. I know you told me only one, but my first one's going to Cam Newton. My second game ball, the football team defense for completely dismantling the Eagles, for completely removing the confidence of this Philadelphia Eagles fan base, and for beginning the demise of one Carson Wentz. So I'm just like Madden with 18 turducken legs. I'm giving a ball to everyone on that defense.
Okay. My game ball goes to, of course, Mike McCarthy for going for it on fourth down and letting the spirit of Jason Garrett guide you in your decision making there. Although that's the irony, is that Jason Garrett never would have gone for it there, and he's certainly haunting the wings of SoFi Stadium. It is ironic that in a game where a day of football where the Giants did not play, Jason Garrett was the biggest winner in my mind, just making him look amazing. And then, you know, of course, shout out to the Bengals kicker Bullock for pulling that calf and helping me cash my Chargers -2.5, baby. Let's go.
That was a nice live pickup. And just to put some icing on it, we ask again, where were the Cowboys fans that were excited about Mike McCarthy when he got hired?
Yes.
They somehow showed up during the pandemic, but now they're going to disappear and evaporate back into the cowgirl ether.
Cowgirls were actually trending on Twitter. Made me think my dad figured out how to use Twitter. DraftKings, baby. I didn't win the million, Ryan. Didn't come up with the 200,000, but the good thing about DraftKings, there's another week. Don't need to worry about it. Moving on to the next week, and actually moving on to the Monday night slate.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't
even have to wait. But of course, week two, there's going to be plenty more millions of dollars up for grabs in prizes. And again, you draft the lineup, you feel the sweat. It is great. I even like watching the millionaire maker, like the top couple guys that, you know, like the winner of the millionaire maker, he was up there for a while and then he got knocked off when Kyler had a touchdown.
Sean was doing like live play by play.
Yeah. And then Melvin Ingram had an interception. The guy at San Diego defense, all of a sudden he goes from 200K to $1 million. That really could be you. All you need to do is download the DraftKings app now. Use the code SGP for a limited time. New users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week two action. Enter code SGP to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. It's code SGP only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Sean, before we move to the picks and the lineups, We did much better this year.
Yeah.
We both are 7-6 going into Monday night, 7-6-1 last year.
Well, and also
last year we combined to win 8 games. So
yeah, last year was brutal. And again, I was, because we did the smelling salts and I talked you out of it. You tried to say, hey, let's do the smelling salts.
I did.
But we have a very, respectable 7-6-1. I'm very high on the Monday night picks. If you missed the picks podcast, I of course have, the Steelers laying 6, although I already bet it at 3.5, but I love it at 6.2. And the Broncos, I think I bet it as a pick. I don't know what.
It's 3 now.
It's 3 because of the injuries. Either way, get all in on that. And if you're a two team tease guy, Pittsburgh to win and Denver getting 9 points. Yep. Yes, please.
Is
on that.
That. Like?
And of course, that you can get in on that over at mybookie.ag. And we got some prop bets. The Monday night prop bets are live. They're there for my bookie. We're doing a little cracking open. Six pack of props. Kramer, you do 3. I do 3. I'll let you have the first one.
And it's great. We have two games to choose from on this great opening Monday night. Sean, I'm almost displeased the Giants are playing on Monday night. I feel like there's going to be a lot going on. I'm going to be very nervous about this. And let's go to that game first. I'm going to a head to head matchup. I've done pretty well in the prop market this week. I feel like if you have a strong opinion, you think something's going to happen, you can attack it nicely. Sterling Shepard will have more receptions than Juju Smith-Schuster. I believe Sterling Shepard's going to be the number one target. I believe he's going to have a number of targets, and I believe Juju is going to catch a little of Bradbury Island. So the Giants don't have a great secondary, but he's the one part of it that's pretty decent. So that being said, I can get a price of +172 on this one, Sean. By the way, shout out to my bookie. They have a shitload of props and we're recording this on a Sunday night, so you can get in early and we know how much these props will move. So my first one is Sterling Shepard, more receptions, not yards, receptions than Juju Smith-Schuster for +172.
Kramer, I'm on the opposite side there. I think Juju is gonna have a big game. That's why I'm taking Juju Smith-Schuster over 66.5 receiving yards. I love the matchup. I love the fact that he has that chemistry with Big Ben. You know, they got a couple of the other younger receivers that he hasn't worked with as much.
He can have a big game. That's cool.
Okay.
That's why I like the angle I played. He might have a big game. Let's just say you think the Giants secondary is trash.
Yes. Sheppard, I think that
could still have more because they're down. There's a lot of game script angles.
Sure. But I'm on Juju getting over 66 and a half receiving yards. I think Big Ben's going to go to him all day. And yeah,
in general, it felt like the passing props for Big Ben were depressed, and it has to be because of his road prowess, which is not very good.
But if you point out his road prowess in prime time, like he's not, the home road splits aren't as good, but he's actually very good on the road in prime time, Monday night and Sunday night.
Yeah. I actually, I think one interesting way you can attack this game, and this isn't one of my plays, but you can do something like Ben Roethlisberger to have over 275 yards and Pittsburgh to win. Mm. So now you're juicing the money line to minus 103.
Wow.
So if you it sounds like you think Big Ben's going to shred.
Yes.
So if you like that, you can get, instead of having to lay minus 250, minus 300 for the money line, you can lay minus 103.
And what is that labeled under here, Ryan? If I was to
player,
put this
player
in.
Performance doubles.
Okay.
Is what that's labeled. And there's a lot of angles. Like you could even go Ben to have more than 300 yards and Pittsburgh win is plus 171, Sean. So
yeah, I like this.
350 yards in Pittsburgh wins is plus 475. So
I like this 275 over in Pittsburgh win. You talked me into it, Ryan. Thank you.
Well, that's it's in my notes because I feel it's a very good angle to play this game if that's the kind of game you think is going to occur.
Yeah, I think they're going to pass a lot.
All right.
Run a lot, score a lot.
All right, for my second prop, I'll stay in the first game. I did go two props in the first game, and I'm taking the same theory. But I'm going to give you a nice long shot prop here. Let's just say you like the Giants to win, shock the world. Jags won. There's some teams popped their head up and won a game. Wouldn't be the craziest thing to see Big Ben have some rust. So Daniel Jones throws for 300 yards because it's going to be a shootout. We all know that.
We all know that.
We all know that. And the Giants win the game plus 750.
Plus 750. I guess, all right. If you're
would be surprised if they win the game without him throwing for 300 yards.
Well, and you're right. And
they
maybe
don't have the defense to win a low scoring battle.
Well, yeah. And wouldn't you rather take that plus 750 instead of the plus 200 money line just for them to win outright? If you can just tie it to a player prop like that.
Well, and I thought Daniel Jones had plenty of 300 yard. It's not a crazy anyway. So that again, if you were like Sean and you like the Steelers side of it, we gave you an opportunity on that, but I'm going to go with the Daniel Jones long shot goes for 300. Giants win the game. All rise. Jason Garrett shows Mike McCarthy what's up plus 750.
Kramer, yes. I also have a Daniel Jones prop. It's going the other way though. Daniel Jones under 1.5 passing touchdowns. He's had say 7 out of his 13 starts. He's passed for only one touchdown. I think that could be the scenario against this ball hawking Pittsburgh defense. TJ Watt, the turnovers. So I think
seen the offensive line the Giants are rolling out there?
Yeah, no, that's why I think
stalwarts.
I think Watt's going to have a field day. I think he's just going to be under pressure a ton. So
I'm a little worried about Watt.
No, maybe there's a blowout situation where he's getting some garbage. Certainly that's something to worry about in this under 1.5. But again, Joe Judge, very conservative guy. If he's getting near the goal line, you know he's going to be pounding the rock, establishing the run. As as old school football coach would.
This is Jason Garrett's offense. There might be some tricks up the sleeve if you know what I'm talking about. The clapper. All right, last one, Sean. I'm going to the late game. Tennessee at Denver. There are a number of prop. I definitely like some of the Jonu Smith opportunities. Let's just go. Our guy, undrafted Phillip Lindsay, over 37.5 rushing yards. What? Yeah. Everything states this is a 50-50 split.
Yes.
And we've seen Lindsay. He's a pretty productive runner, not just a guy who can catch the ball. He can run pretty well. And as you so graciously have reminded the fans repeatedly, Melvin Gordon struggling with the altitude. I this is crazy. 37.5 I feel similar to how I felt about the David Johnson on Thursday night when it was at like 52 yards. So Philip Lindsay over 37.5. That's the angle.
Yeah. I, that was also my third one, Ryan. I'm all over that.
Did we really have the same one?
Yes. Someone in the chat asked about, what do you think of Drew Lock rushing yards over 11.5? And I'll use that as a bonus one here. So we don't give out the same one. So we deliver the six pack to the listeners.
That's fun.
In his five games, he's only, well, so in his five games, he's had 15 yards rushing, 15, 3 yards rushing, 10, and then 29. So I think 11.5, not bad, especially with Tennessee. I think they play a decent amount of man. And if you have a quarterback who may run playing against man, they're more likely to run because they're not sitting in that zone. They're turning and running with the receivers.
It only takes one. Like at that
at 11.5. Yeah.
When the total's that low, Locke is he could get loose. That's a fun angle in the game, well, especially early in the season, right? We saw it a lot. Quarterbacks just making
and
shit happen.
And especially if that defense, the Titans defense, gets tired in the second half, I could definitely see him running and picking up some rushing yards. And he, at the end of the day, this dude, at least from what we've seen in the small sample size, the guy's kind of a gamer. So guys like that, I mean, we saw it at a Kyler a little bit, you know, picking up the sticks and running when they need to. So, all right, Kramer, we're going to do a DraftKings lineup for the Monday night games.
Let's go.
Before we do that, just want to give a quick shout out to BetQL, baby. Oh, I had a great week college football. A lot of it was thanks to the helpful tips over at the BetQL.co. They got a sweet app, great for NBA, NHL, like I said, college football, NFL, obviously. They got a best bets algorithm, scans thousands of data points, give you a best bet recommendation for every game. And yeah, man, they got that sharp data. See where the sharp and square side is. They got it all. And if you use the promo code SGP20, get 20% off your first subscription. All you got to do is go to BetQL.co, enter code SGP20 for 20% off. Head over to the App Store, Google Play Store, download BetQL today. Okay, Kramer, let's do it. We are doing the DraftKings, not the single game showdown. They actually have like a full slate since there is two games. So I'll let you kick things off. Why are you taking Daniel Jones in this Monday night matchup, Ryan?
What if I told you I'm not taking Daniel Jones?
Well, I say you're smart not to believe in him.
I'm taking Ben Roethlisberger.
So you're copying my lineup.
I'm not copying your lineup, but I'm aware of the downside of what this defense can do. You know what? I'll make it different. I'll take my Drew Lock lineup.
Okay.
I'll switch over to my Lock lineup. 5,400. He's the cheapest guy. And this, you know, you touched on the rushing prop. I'm not so certain, as you pointed out, that this defense can hold up for four quarters. And I think
especially Locke, in the elevation,
Locke will be fit frisky. And back to that rushing prop, I think that's in play. Also, I really think I like the matchup. I like the matchup with the tight end. I like the matchup. Hopefully Sutton can play and get out there. But I think there's going to be opportunities, and especially in the second half. So Drew Lock, 5,400, save some money for some of the other positions. Maybe we can fit some Escalades in the garage.
Yeah. And to me, Lock is like a super, super poor man's Patrick Mahomes, where he's bootlegging a little bit, moving around.
That's really generous. Probably still even calling him a really poor man's Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going Big Ben, 7,000 against the Giants secondary.
Yep.
They're going to struggle. He's going to deal. Give me Big Ben in prime time showing up. Who's your running back, Ryan?
Well, number one, let's just go all in Derrick Henry. We know what they're going to do. Lots of carries for Derrick Henry. I think the rookie Evans, he's out. Again, play the beep 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 sound effect. Get the Escalades in your garage. This is a fun format with the four games. I'm not necessarily going to get overly invested in Tennessee, but I'm definitely going to take some Henry stock. So
yep, I'm also in on Henry. I think. Again, it's a volume play, and they may even involve him a little bit in the passing game because, like you said, the rookie's banged up. they only kept two running backs. So I think if they're going to throw to a running back, they're going to get the scream game involved. It's probably going to be the big dog himself. Derrick Henry, 7,500. Who's your second running back?
Second running back. Again, play the sound effect. Saquon Barkley. What, of course I'm going to play Barkley. They're getting him involved in the passing game, or so say the beat reporters. I'm excited for a heavy workload. I have a couple giants in my lineup. Teaser alert, but yeah, Barkley and Henry. I started the lineup with those guys because it's hard to. They're going to be such a large share of their team's offense. I think Barkley and Henry. I spent $15,500 on the two of them. Sean, worth every penny.
Well, and that's the move. You got to go. You really have to pay up for running backs, at least for the most part. I'm going Philip Lindsay though for the second running back. I'm still not believing Melvin Gordon's going to be involved in a big way for this game. Maybe I'm wrong and maybe he just cruises, but I love the fact that Philip Lindsay's only $4,900. And I think you're going to get first RB one potential for Philip Lindsay with an RB two price tag. Melvin Gordon, besides the altitude, he has had a rib issue. He's not listed on the injury report anymore, but I just think it's going to take a little bit for him to really get involved. And we've seen Melvin Gordon start slow before. So Philip Lindsay, 4,900.
Yep. So this is where we start shooting bullets. First bullet, Deontay Johnson. I think he's going to have some opportunities to get loose. As we discussed, the secondary, there's a lot of questions.
Yep.
I do think the reason I'm playing Johnson is I think he could have the opportunity to catch a couple longer ones. And so maybe you don't need quite the volume that Juju may receive. 4,400, Deontay Johnson.
Yes, I'm also on Deontay Johnson. He's he's coming off a foot injury, but so is
practice fully though.
Yeah, so is James Washington, similar issue. But yeah, $4,400 against this Giants secondary. I'm all in. Who's your second receiver?
Kramer? Sterling Shepard.
Ooh, okay. Now give us your rap again about why he's better than Darius Slayton.
I think so. Here would be my angle if you're a wanting to know highest floor out of the receivers is going to be Ingram. Slayton is 100% your guy that can get three catches, two of them being touchdowns. But I think Shepard is going to be the key target in this offense. I think he's going to have the highest ceiling. He's going to get the share of the targets. And just from what you read the beat reporters talk about, Sterling Shepard in for a very big season. So I think his price is only going to go up. 5,200. It's going to be worth it. I mean, they're probably going to be playing from behind. I think the spread would indicate a game script from behind. Maybe the defense is rusty to start, hopefully, and Shepard can get loose.
Yeah. So, like I said, in the prop market, I'm all in on Juju. I like the angle, and hopefully he gets some work in the slot. That's kind of his best position. We'll see what they end up doing there, but $7,200 you're paying up for it. But I really, you know, Big Ben knows him the best, and I think you're going to see that on display Monday night. So yeah, give me Juju here, 7,200.
I have Sutton in as my next receiver. I know he's truly questionable, Sean. First and foremost, I played through this injury. I played rugby in college. Mm. Played through this injury. I would hope a professional receiver in the National Football League would be able to get through it.
Fellow rugby player Mike Leach, he would play through.
He would play through this too. So I'll be able to pivot wherever I want to here if he's not in. I'll probably just pivot to the rookie, Jerry Jeudy. Although you can get cute, there's some other guys out there. But I'm going Sutton. I'm all in on this guy. I think he ends up playing. They shoot him in the shoulder. He's gonna be. Eli played through this with his throwing shoulder, Sean. So
wow,
no pressure, Cortland Sutton, 5,600.
Eli's a real man, Ryan.
He is. Who's your third receiver?
Third receiver, Jerry Jeudy, because Cortland Sutton's not going to play. I'm putting in Jeudy, 4,200.
That's the pivot.
Yeah. It's a bit of a risk because he's the rookie, but yeah, I like the speed. Everyone's been glowing about him in camp, and they usually do that with rookies. But yeah, I think Jeudy is going to see a decent amount of volume against this Tennessee Titans defense.
Next up, tight end Noah Fant. I'm doing a double stack with Drew Lock. Obviously, I'm angling towards a passing attack that looks nice. Tennessee elevation is going to bother him. Noah Fant was a matchup disaster last year. He was able to stretch the field. I think he's going to give them give Tennessee's linebacker some fits. 4,600, not a bad price. for Noah Fant here. I almost went Eric Ebron. We know the Giants struggle to defend the tight end, Sean. But I did go for a double Drew Lock stack. Noah Fant 4,600.
Yes, I went. I was going back and forth between Fant, but I settled on Ebron for the Steelers just because we've seen Ebron, like, he really has those ceiling games. He has those. I mean, a couple times he had three touchdowns in a game, and if he can do something like that, that's how you kind of, that's how you win some of these contests. And I like Fant overall, but I don't know if he has that kind of crazy upside that Eric Ebron has. We'll see.
I may have lineups for each quarterback. And if I did have that, Sean, you inspired me. I have a Tannehill Henry Jonu stack as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's
one guy to look out for a potential dart in a showdown lineup. Caden Smith. He's been getting some work and he's got some athleticism. Could be a touchdown threat.
3,000.
3,000.
All right, Kramer, who's your flex?
My flex. One more. I attacked this line, this particular lineup, from the perspective of what if I played the cheap quarterback and just loaded up the three Escalades? We don't really know Gordon, Lindsay, so scratch one of the teams. We know the other three teams. So give me Connor, 6,400. I got all three Escalades into my garage, Sean. It cost me a little bit to do so, but I like the result. I think Connor. Hard to see Connor not having a big game. Giants also tend to struggle against the running backs in the passing game. And we saw what Blake Martinez couldn't do in the Sims this summer.
That's tackle,
cover or tackle anyone.
Kramer, only got a little bit here before we close out our lineups, give out the final thoughts, but I want to give a shout out to Ace Per Head. Of course. I mean, imagine all your friends and family betting the Colts, laying the Colts 8.7.5, whatever. And then the Jags win outright. Go Colts money line. I'm sure they're in everyone's parlay teaser. Wouldn't you like to be the bookie that's cashing in on these squares? Well, you can. All you gotta do is go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. They make it so easy to start your own sports book, turnkey operation. And if you use their link, aceperhead.com/SGP, you get up to 6 weeks free. That's right, 6 weeks free. aceperhead.com/SGP. Kramer, closing it out, or almost closing out, my flex spot, James Conner, the Terminator. Yeah. Again, Tomlin, yeah. He's pointed out that he likes the workhorse style back. He was out for some reason, but seems like he's completely healthy. And I think maybe with the passing game, hopefully revitalized with Big Ben, he faces a smaller box, and I know how he would appreciate that. And I think it'll lead to a bigger game. So yeah, give me Connor, 6,400.
It is interesting. We've heard a lot about how guys were going to be the guy. And then today we found out maybe they're not the guy. So interesting to see what happens.
Who would you mean in that sense?
Who wouldn't I mean the Indy situation, obviously Matt getting hurt, but that was a three headed monster. Green Bay, once again, Williams out there a lot more than people expecting. Madison got a lot of work with Cook in Minnesota. Yeah. So I think just people getting wiser to the idea that running backs can stay healthy if you leave. If anything, Clyde Edwards-Helaire may be one of the actual bell cows. He got a lot of the work of that backfield. So yeah, interesting to see what Connor is, because a lot of people high on, they drafted an Anthony McFarlane guy. They have Benny Snell, who looked pretty fucking good last year. So interesting to see if Connor is actually the bell cow. Defense.
Yeah, let's do it.
I went Broncos actually.
Really?
I didn't go Giants. Even though road Big Ben is fun to go against, I definitely will have some shares of the Giants defense. I went Broncos defense, Tannehill. And that offense on the road
could be falling off a cliff. Yeah.
We don't have data on a team where it's the year after the coach threatens to cut off his dick. We don't have data on this, and they're going to elevation. What is his blood flow situation? We don't know.
Long Cox
Kramer. I did it. I went with the Steelers. I mean, why Minka Fitzpatrick?
The Eagles lose, and now you're just going to be a vindictive asshole.
They led the league in turnovers. Why would I not take that defense?
No, it's probably smart.
Again,
it's smart if you're a chalky square.
I mentioned it on the pregame show that in a scrimmage where Daniel Jones was wearing a red jersey and not allowed to be hit,
Oh, fuck off.
He was still somehow strip sacked.
Carson, all right. In a real game today, Carson Wentz looked like shit. Stop talking about practice. We're talking about practice.
Yeah. Well, we'll
talk about practice.
We will have some game film to break down.
We're talking about practice
on Mr. Jones coming up, and you know, right at it again tomorrow. We're going to be doing Monday Night Madden, kicking off around 2:30 West Coast time, and we're going to be recording week three college football picks. The content train keeps going on, Ryan.
It never ends.
Doesn't stop for anything. And thank you guys for tuning into the new Recap Monday Night Props podcast. And yeah, we'll be doing this live and mix it up. Let's just while we're at the end here, I'm going to scroll through and make sure we hit on any other questions that people are throwing out there.
Does Big Ben make it through the whole season? Absolutely not. People liking it. Early DFS picks for next week. I would say I haven't thought too much about the DFS lineups, but as far as guys you're going to want to go look to pick up, Nyheim Hines is at the top of that.
Yeah. And we actually, if you're listening to this now, now's perfect time to get a head start on the waiver wire already. Adam Pelletier, fantasy guru.
Yep.
He's got the waiver wire pickups. Of course, Nyheim Hines is way up there. James Robinson,
more impressive back today than Joshua Kelly. I mean, he looked pretty fucking good.
He was running hard. He's one of those eye test guys where you watch him and you're like, oh dude. And as a guy who has a bunch of Eckler shares, I was kind of bummed. They didn't use Eckler at all in the passing game. Really? I was pretty surprised.
That was a strange game. I'm just going to hope this is an evolution with this team. Two new quarterbacks having to deploy the offense a little bit differently than maybe some of the other teams. But man, when he put his shoulder through that Cincinnati linebacker and just sent him back a couple yards, that was an eye opener.
That was a great stick. And of course, Adam pointed out one of the guys that in our fantasy preview, the deep dark sleeper off the board, Keelan Cole Senior, only owned on 0.1% of the rosters, but he seems like he has maybe he's going to be involved here pretty regularly. We'll see how things shake out. But yeah, he had the game winning the go ahead grab there in Jacksonville. Duval.
I mean, who doesn't want to have a piece of that Jags team? Come on.
They're so fun.
Come on.
And in my family league,
we got to get Minshew on the podcast.
Yes. I'm working on it. One of the guys in my fantasy football, cause I drafted Minshew basically undrafted. Yeah, like I drafted him right before a kicker and defense. And he's like, if Gardner Minshew wins you the league, I'll fucking kiss your ass. And he had a huge score, game, like
23.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to lose week one, not because of Gardner Minshew, but yeah. So, all right, guys.
Sorry.
Thank you for
Jones.
Participating in the sports.
But I still have a pretty good roster, but Eckler, man, no PPR points killing me.
Yeah.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, second the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
See everyone tomorrow night. All right.
Cram it. Let it ride.